Done.
You are on and going.
You are no longer muted.
All set? Can we tell if anybody is on?
And can hear?
I do have two people on. Four people.
Okay, I mean, that's not many at the moment, but can you please confirm that you can hear us? One of you?
Star six to unmute and then let us know you can hear us out there in phone land.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Thank you very much. Outstanding.
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks. Okay.
How do I remute it?
I gotcha.
The town clerk will take
care of that.
Yeah.
You've been muted. To unmute yourself, press star six.
Okay, it is Friday, the 25th of September, 5:01, and I would like a motion to continue the council meeting, which was initiated on Friday, the
Monday.
On Monday, the 21st.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We completed things up until we came into
old
business, and we were in the middle of the LDSI report with Commissioner David Hegler. Commissioner, would you proceed?
I will. So, to recap, we were just finishing up the discussion on issue number two of the five issues listed in the LDSI report. For the council and for the people out on the telephone, if you go to the agenda on our website and get their report, we're on the slide that has two pictures on it, slide 5 of 10 out of the LDSI September 2020 KB Council Meeting PDF. And these two slides are showing the outfall to the ditch that runs along K Avenue to the west side of the administrative and fire department complex. And it's not a great picture, but what it's showing is this was during, this ties into the slides that we're going to get to from the Beachwalk Pond system. And basically it's showing that this is only 40% loaded when those are basically full, which shows just like the modeling showed that this system is not overloaded at peak loading, which is exactly the issue. The recommendations for this specific issue is if Beachwalk proposes any changes to their pond system, the town needs to do an engineering study to make sure that it does not overload the system. But as it is right now, it's fine based off the model and actual flow experience during a high rain system.
Just so I can get it clear in my mind, David, so all of the pipe structures that are leading into the pond and from the pond into the feeder pipe, which is actually under our parking lot here and goes to the ditch,
that's
we
right.
have
No obstructions, and the system does not get fully loaded during a high rain event, nor does the model show that it has an issue. That's really because the pond system, and we'll talk about that on issue four, basically acts like the limiting
factor. Anybody?
Hello?
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
That pipe that's going through the town facility was camered and cleaned out at the end of the construction project just to get any construction debris or anything that may have gotten in there while that pipe was open from time to time. So all that was cleaned out
yep.
at the end.
Yep.
Apparently we have no audio.
You are no longer muted.
It muted us back.
Okay.
Hello. Thank you for whoever pointed out and texted us. Glad we all got cell phones to find out if we're having audio. Hopefully not any more audio difficulties. Please continue to text us if we have any, right? So we were just wrapping up. Commissioner Oliver pointed out that during the construction of the new firehouse, that entire pipe system was camered and has no issues.
So it was cleaned out.
And cleaned out as well.
Yeah.
There wasn't very much in it, though.
There was a little construction.
The construction, but not pre-existing problems.
No, because we cleaned it out prior to the construction starting. And there was a lot of sediment, but it had never been cleaned out.
Right.
Okay.
So then the next one is one that's recommended replacing. So this is 4th Avenue between L and M, and there's a throttle point. Basically, it's an 18-inch pipe that comes into a 12-inch pipe back to a 15-inch pipe. If you go to the next slide, I'm sorry. Maybe.
I did.
Oh.
Gotta catch up.
Wow, okay. You gotta get off the video and click it. Okay. There you go.
Sorry.
Back one. Back one more.
Back. There you go.
Okay. There you go.
There it is.
Perfect. Okay. So we're on issue number 3. There's about 75 feet of 12-inch pipe in a large run. The model does show this gets surcharged. The town has seen some issues in this area, and so this is one that we will be cost estimating, and now that we're in the off season, replacing. So we're going to change that 12-inch pipe. The first part is to camera it to find out exactly where it necks down, and then inform the property owners that we will be working in the easement in their front yard. It looks like it goes about 1.5 lots, so we're not sure if 3 property owners are impacted or just 2, but we'll find that out once we camera that. So that's on Jimmy's list, and when we get the 2 public works guys replaced, that will pop up to the top of the list, hopefully here maybe before the end of the year, if not in January. Issue number 4. So this is the beach walk drainage system entrance into the town. And basically the report shows that our issue is basically throttled because of the injury boundary conditions from the upstream ponds. Additionally, even during Florence, if you guys remember, we went out and looked at that. I know, Mr. Mayor, you were with me.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at it during Florence. We looked at it again during the big one after Florence in 2019, I can't remember what storm that was these days, but
Dorian.
Dorian, yeah. The big rain events during Dorian, we went and looked as well. And then I've got some pictures from this as well. So we don't have issues on this. This is the same thing as our outfall to K Avenue. If Beachwalk makes any modifications to their permit, that would come through us as a signee as well, and we just have to coordinate any of those changes. So if they increase anything that changes how their pond system works, we're going to have to look at this pipe and the pipe into K Avenue. So the recommendation is just to monitor this system for changes. If we go to the next slide, and then if you click on it, it's a video. So this is looking towards the second pond from Beachwalk. If you look up on the screen or touch yours on your screen. And you can see that there are 2 24-inch outlet pipes, once it scans around, if it'll work last week. If you look straight in the top center, that's their 2 24-inch outfall pipes. They're 90% loaded. Additionally, above the pipes, you can see water because it's surcharged their pipes at the inlet side, and then rain's coming in from the sides, basically, because that was a ditch before the pipes got there. If you look at our pipe in the next drawing, so that pipe to the right is also from Fifth Street. So drainage is coming in. Those are all coming in, collecting together. And then if we get the second slide up, you can go through the verbiage, but one more should come. Okay, back one, and then it should show it. There you go. This is now looking at our 30-inch pipe, and you can see it's only about 60% loaded. So with their pipes at 90%, our pipes at 60%, and it doesn't fill up in there just like it should, right? So the model shows that it's not surcharged. Actual experience from the town shows it's not surcharged, so there's no action required other than monitor for Beachwalk doing any changes. If they were to change their pond system, they would have to go through repermitting. And then in that repermitting, we would have to look at what their engineering study shows is their max outflow, and then model that with LDSI against our max potential for this collector system that goes to the K Avenue ditch. Next slide. So issue number 5 was 2 15-inch pipes and a 12-inch pipe that all come together to an 18-inch pipe on 5th Avenue. Modeling shows no issues with this one. The town doesn't have any problems in this area as well, So really the recommendation is just to maintain this on our stormwater cleanout program. There should be no large changes in that area. The one thing that could happen is as houses are built, they could increase the loading a bit if they increase their impervious surface. That area has a mixture, on Fifth Avenue, has a mixture of older and new homes, so there could be some increases in that area, and we'll just have to monitor that as that happens. But we haven't had issues in that area with reports of stormwater issues. So at this time, we're just going to maintain on the cleanout.
Just as a point, David, do we have any feel that if we do something on between L and M on 4th, that there could be an impact on M on 5th?
So
is water flowing to the...
It does flow that way. Yeah, it does flow that way. Because it comes back down, we don't think so.
Okay.
The model doesn't show that if we increase that. So we did ask LDSI, look, is there interrelations between those two? And they said it would not at this time.
Okay, good.
But once we make the change, we're going to monitor, right? So just like with everything, we know where the bad areas are in town. So if a new one pops up and we just did work, we would definitely think that was an issue for us, right?
So you guys are ahead thinking about that. Thank you.
Yep. That's the LDSI report. The issue on Settlers Lane came up, and Joe asked for some information. I forwarded to council, and Mandy has it. Well, let's finish the last slide, and then we'll move on. Right. So our state audit of the stormwater program, our formal response was sent on the 11th. We'll wait for DEQ to respond, which is what Jimmy talked about in his update on Monday. Once they approve the changes, they become part of our permit, so we have to make them happen. And then the stormwater committee has been reformed. We meet again next Monday night to work through getting collating all the data on all the sub-permittees in town that the state now requires us to manage. Basically, we're supposed to have a copy of all the permits in town and monitor and document in our annual report that they're meeting the requirements of their permits, which we didn't used to have to do that. That's a change that the state's doing for everybody.
Not looking for names. Do we have any HOAs who still have an expired permit?
They've turned in their information. When I looked in July, I haven't looked since July, so I can do that. They still showed expired on the state website.
Okay.
The state is slowed down with COVID, I believe. They've not been as quickly responsive as they have in the past from other questions we've asked to them. So I'll look again.
As long as the data is submitted. I mean, that's the important
point
for us.
That's what was reported by the HOA,
that
they had submitted their permit report.
Okay, good. Thank
you. They hadn't gotten feedback from the state that they had a problem. So
that's a good report. Thank you.
Okay, so separate issues behind Settlers Lane, in the fire lane from Masu Land. We've been working back and forth with Masu to try to get permission to do something back there. They've now, this week or last week, Joe sent us a note back saying that they wanted a formal engineering study before they proceed. We have a quote which I shared with council yesterday or today. I think I got it this morning from LDSI to do the work. Mandy has a copy of it. I don't know if she can pull it up there or not. Basically, they just went back through and reiterated that they stand by the March quote that we got. So they will study it and give us a stormwater study, permit documents, and construction documents for about $47,000. That's what their quote is. I don't know, because Jonathan Winkle, the engineer involved, is out with his grandfather's passing. He'll get with me next week, but I'm not sure if that study would apply to either in our easement or on Masu Land if we considered either of those options. So we do, I think, want to know that answer before we want to commit to a contract in case Masu didn't approve it and we wanted to put it on our easement behind those properties. there's a lot of work we need to do with the citizens that live there if we're going to go through the easements. There are a number of decks that council has approved.
Decks, fencing, and everything.
Fencing and everything. So
that quote is from the ditch all the way to the water tower, right?
It is. So it's much larger. It's 2,700 feet, which would go from the water tower to the ditch, right? So if we narrow it down, it would probably be less. But
I'd say if we're going to do it, let's do it, because it's the long-range plan is to get it as far as we can.
If we're going, we need to develop the plan for the whole distance, because you can't.
Right.
You need the flow going. So.
No, I understand. That's why we wrote it that way. Mm-hmm. Manny's got it up. If you don't have it in front of you guys from your email, so. I'm kind of open to council, right? This is how much money we're talking about spending with an engineering firm. We don't know if MOTSA will approve it. We don't know if we would do it in the easements, but we would have it forever, right? So,
is there a chance MOTSA would help the cost?
I'd love if we get some of those federal dollars, but
I don't know. I mean,
well, we've already spent $30,000 on their ditches, clearing their access roads in the ditches. So.
Well,
that helps us too, right?
Yeah, it helps us, but it's right. Also, yeah. If there was an issue, they
well,
had
they
a
would be fine with them to just fill up, I think, which is
I
not
think
good.
We can certainly look at brick for, you know, some financial assistance. I think brick is yeah. For drainage, storm drainage improvements.
I don't know. So that's the second thing I have to bring up that I sent you guys, right? But I wanted to talk about this one first. If we're going to do it, we can try to get funding or not. I mean, we can ask LDSI. They were talking about for the outfalls, is what he sent us. We could put in a letter of intent for
the
this.
Outfalls on
and,
the beach.
Yeah, yes. For the outfalls on the beach. That's right. So, second thing, you guys led into it very well. If we look, I also sent you for brick, right? So, North Carolina Department of Public Safety Emergency Management has a FY 2020 building resilient infrastructure and communities brick fund. LDSI recommended that we apply for our outfalls, just like we've done before, right? So we have the outfall system in the dune line on Atlantic Avenue that filters the water before it goes out instead of direct streaming it in those pipes. We've wanted to do those. It's in our land use long range plan to do that. LDSI feels that's a great project for this. We could ask them to submit both. Submissions are required with letters of intent by October 9th. It is, I think, 75% match. I looked at it in there, I'm pretty sure.
75%.
It's 75% match, so if we wanted to put this in as one, the only concern is, well, I think the letter of intent, we should put in whatever council directs. And we can do both. LDSI, I'm sure, would put whichever one we want in or both. I think we'd put them as separate projects.
Yeah.
But we should tell MOTSA we're asking for North Carolina emergency money to put a pipe on their land, right? To pay for the engineering study to do that. Because if we do the engineering study,
we can just say that
would be the project.
This pipe to help your property stay dry and our town stay dry, but we're asking for grants for it.
I'm fine with that. I'm open to council. I'm fine with what you guys direct, right? So I'll be glad to work with LDSI to put in both as grants if that's what council thinks we should do. LDSI recommended that we put in the outfall projects to grants because it's a great project. It's one that meets a bunch of the wickets, right?
Well, the Dune project, NCDOT, and they showed some promise and we'll participate in that too.
Right, yeah, because it's their road.
Yeah, it's going to help them.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the water from their road goes. Exactly right. So, I mean, if council directs, I can work with LDSI to put in both of these as projects.
So, Will, what do you have a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion that we ask Commissioner Hagler to work with LDSI to send the letter in
on both
letter of intent for both projects. We're going to separate them. That's right.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to have LDSI help us with the pursuit of financial support on both projects. Therefore, any further discussion on that point?
I do have one question. Is there any potential or of us spending a bunch of money and then MOPSU disagreeing with what we're getting ready to do?
Well, that certainly could be a potential since we cannot determine what their response would be, but we plan to tell them that we're going to make an effort. And frankly, the effort of going to brick is to try to mitigate what our costs would be to do that. But I think Commissioner Hegler had already said that the study would be good forever. It's for the full 2,700 feet. We wouldn't necessarily have to execute all 2,700 feet, maybe. But there, I would tell you this, just from my personal opinion, and I'll add that before we vote, is that the water behind us on Settlers and in the Matsu property, some of it I think is sheet water, and I believe some of that is ground water. And I'm not sure what the right solution is to deal with that. We need professional expertise so that if we do get to spending money, we know we're spending money on the right solution.
The attorney has.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This is ground you all have plowed before I came on board, so it's a little unfamiliar to me. It's two or three quick questions. I saw a slide a minute ago for 47 plus with the engineering group. Are you all authorizing that? Is that what we're doing right now?
No.
So we're not entertaining any authorization of an engineer contract?
No.
And if LDSI, is that correct? Mm-hmm. If they help us with these
grants,
is there a cost associated with that?
That's what I'll have to ask them. And I'll come back to council if there is.
And if you could let us know, because where I'm coming from is if you're going to contract with an engineering firm by statute, you got to do the RFP process.
Right.
But if it's less than 50, you can exempt that procurement process.
Right. I will.
Thank you.
They won't commit any funds without council approval.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, David. Approved.
Thank you. I will give feedback to council and the town attorney on what LDSI says. I'll talk to them early next week.
Thank you.
We have until October 9th to submit LOIs at 5 p.m.
So, does that complete that one, or are we still?
Yes, sir, that completes that one. Yes, sir.
Okay. Moving on to 9.2.
Yes, sir.
Pro Tem, Mr. Hegler, you're busy.
Yes. So this one's just a parking area that if we pull up Google Earth, would probably be the easiest way, Mandy, and just go to N Avenue. Right now, it is not, Mike, I'm asking you, Chief, to make sure, but... So we were enforcing no one parking there. After council talked about this, I think we've stopped enforcing that. Is that a true statement, right? We have not put signs there for golf cart parking, but that's what typically is occurring there. So if council is in approval of that, we'll just put signage there and make it dedicated golf cart parking. It sort of naturally surged back to that. It was that before. Until the police department was enforcing no parking there. Once the signs went away, people were parking there.
You said
N? N Avenue, yes, ma'am.
What about G?
We already approved that.
We've already approved all the other places, right? So I don't know if we've got the signage up yet. I haven't looked at
it
yet. But Jimmy, you probably got the signs ordered.
Are we going to move the fence and relocate that wooden fence there, or just put some gravel down or...
I mean, I'm open with them just parking how it is. I don't know why we do it. It's not hurting anything.
I would probably let that to Jimmy to see if it needs to be moved or if it can be, if it should stay.
I'm just asking. I mean, I don't know if it's necessary.
I don't think it is.
To get carts in there, we walked down the other day.
Yeah.
And I would postulate that if you remove that fence,
the cars
would approach over into that little space.
So from my standpoint, fortunately I work from home a lot now, so I get to walk down there too. And once the word got out, we weren't enforcing it. People were there. As soon as we put signs up, whoever's there earlier will probably be, their golf cart will be there. But it's being used now.
But we are going to recommend putting signs.
Golf park parking only.
That'll do. Maybe you might have to put a little gravel and smooth it out a little bit right there.
I mean, it's not. You're close. You're getting there.
I'm trying.
I think we're all, fortunately, everyone's aware of exactly
what
we're talking about.
Yeah, we know what we're talking about.
But an issue.
Thanks for
But anyway, my recommendation to council is we approve that for golf cart parking and market, similar to the other golf cart parking where we've got an order for the rest of the park area. So I'll make a motion to that effect.
Have a motion?
Second.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next item is the street naming process. Counselor.
I'll take that. And Mandy, if you could help me to remember to get the policy, and you can go ahead and scroll down until you get to the red ink, or is it right there?
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Council. Staff reviewed the proposed street name text amendments, which I might lapse and call PTAs. Essentially, there's policy language in the proposed amendments, but the crux of the matter is they provide procedures and processes for naming existing streets and naming new streets and renaming existing streets. When staff reviewed the proposed amendments, it was noted that there were already provisions in the code for both. So the logical question is, we need direction as to whether council wants to replace the existing code provisions, and if so, in whole or in part based on the proposed amendments. And even if council decides to stay with the existing provisions, there is still, I think, the need to talk about renaming existing streets, and I'll cover all these things in the next few minutes. What I've done is take the proposed amendment draft and highlight it, the key parts that we need to discuss, and then in the red text blocks, discuss the existing code provisions so you can make an easy comparison. So starting at the top here, 1496 key terms, you've got four key terms that are proposed for definitions. The first text block notes that street and block are currently defined in Chapter 14. If deemed advisable, we can add definitions for intersection and cul-de-sac, but given the common meaning of those terms, I'm not sure that we need to jump through the text amendment hoops. No problem if you want them, but I think everybody understands what an intersection and a cul-de-sac is. And I'm going to ask you to save your consensus on, we can go back and forth on these points, but let's look at the whole thing first before we start reaching consensus on how you want to go. That'd be my proposal. If you go down to the middle of the page, you see 1498, and Mandy, yeah, there you go. 1498 starts to lay out it's the first set of procedures for naming new and existing streets. We'll just get into it. First paragraph, when preliminary subdivision plats are submitted for a review, all proposed public streets must be identified. Text box, already covered in code 140810, which is the checklist for preliminary plats. So if you've already got that, I'm not sure that you need to do it again. Second paragraph under that text box, proposed street names should be submitted to the building inspector department for review and approval. Currently, the code in 1410.050G, and I quote, street names shall be subject to the approval of PZC. So PZC under the code approves street names. And you got to remember what we're dealing with here. Chapter 14 is subdivision approval, so the plats come through PZC. both preliminary and final come through PBC for review and recommendation, council for consideration and action. But the point is, the code already has an approval process. So let's go down to the, keep that top one for me. The remainder of this section sets out three different procedures for naming streets in existing and new. And those different procedures are based on the type of street or the possible receipt of a petition signed by a certain percentage of people. So let's walk through those. The first one, which is at the bottom of the page or the top of your screen, if the street to be named is not a major thoroughfare, then not less than 10 days prior to the public hearing, you'll advertise for one day, you'll do some posting, and you'll also mail. If you go to the next one, if the street is a major thoroughfare, you have the same procedures, but you have additional notice requirements. And then the third one on top of the text box, if you get the application for naming or renaming a street signed by all the property owners 100% fronting that street, town council may adopt an ordinance naming or renaming the street without publishing. It simply drops the publication notice. Text box. Bottom line, three different sets of procedural requirements for notice public hearing. This is different from the code, which, under KVC 1406, 020, and 030, PZC reviews and comments, and council considers and acts on both preliminary and final plats without the requirement for a public hearing. So if you go with these text amendments or something like these text amendments, you're injecting a public hearing and notice requirements where the code doesn't currently require. If you drop down to 1499, which you can make it, let's see if there's anything on the next page. Yeah, we'll keep it right here, that's good. Basic guidelines to follow when naming a street. They just lay out the criteria, minimum length, maximum length. My comment, or staff's comment, is council may want to consider amendments based on the following. Query whether there's a need for such amendments. One of the considerations council may want to entertain is how built out the town is and how many subdivisions are going to come through. I can recall maybe two since 2014. So do we need to jump through all these hoops and consider these types of amendments given the built out status of the town and how many subdivision plats you may or may not see in the future? That's policy, and you all can come up with that. If you can go to 14100, Mandy, keep the yellow.
I'm keeping it on. That's all too far. Yes.
Matter of fact, you can drop summary. We'll end up with that. 14-100, when a street must be renamed. A citizen can change a street name by submitting a written request to Cary Beach. The request must include the proposed street name along with the signatures of at least 51% of the affected property owners. After submission, it's reviewed for compliance for addressing standards, and then it sets forth a public hearing and notice requirements. Now, keep in mind, this is a fourth procedure compared to the earlier procedure, if it was a major thoroughfare or not a major thoroughfare or a petition signed by 100%. So two pages back, you got 100% with a set of notice requirements. Now we've got 51% with a different set of notice requirements, both of which apply to renaming the existing streets. So I don't think we need both. We may not need any, but that's the way it's laid out at the present time. So if you look at the text box, this proposed amendment, point one we just covered. I do want to bring to your attention that there is already a provision in the code for renaming streets. It doesn't fit all the circumstances, and I'm not sure that you want to get into those circumstances, because I think you're inviting red button issues on polarized situations that are quite evident these days. But currently, KBC 1310.010b regulates renaming existing streets. It shall be, and I'm quoting, it shall be the duty of the building inspector from time to time to review official street names and recommend to council any changes he feels are justified in order to permit clarity of street designation. Granted, that provision is limited to clarifying street designation, so it doesn't cover some of the impetus of what probably resulted in bringing these proposed amendments to your all's attention. Query, is that sufficient? Do we tweak this? Do we get rid of it? Do we just have some sort of a blanket statement that renaming existing streets shall be at the discretion of town council and leave it at that in order to tamp down the possibility of red button issues? Or do we open that box and say, and provide for a process and procedures when citizens bring forth requests for renaming streets? I don't, again, I think it's clear that you might get into red button issues, but I'm not making a policy statement when I say that. That's your all's term. And that's what I say down in number four. So in summary, and if you could,
there you go.
Does council want to amend these current provisions for naming new streets? Again, those current provisions are subdivision preliminary plat checklist for subdivision plat checklist for preliminary and final plats has to include street names which are subject to PZC approval, which I venture to say PZC is not even aware of. But it all comes out in the PZC review and council's action. If council does want to amend the current provisions for naming new streets, then what does it want? Does it want to use these proposals instead? Does it want a hybrid between what's here and what's already existing? Staff needs direction if you want to change the existing policies for naming new streets. Does council want to amend the current provision for renaming existing streets? If so, how? Two more minor points. These text amendments are presented as proposed amendments to Chapter 14, which are subdivision regulations. And that involves a more formal procedure for council to entertain. It's not a shall, it's a may. Council may submit proposed amendments to subdivision regulations to PZC, and I believe there's a public hearing where I got to double check that on council's end, but if it was Chapter 13, which is where we saw the renaming provision that we talked about a minute ago, then there's no formality. That's just like amending any other chapter other than zoning or subdivision. You all may want a public hearing, or you, but you're not required to. Simply act on it, PZC does not review. And then finally, there's a policy. If you could get that 403G. This is easy, but I want to point out, maybe I attached it to that, but I want 403G.
No, separate, it's in the middle. It's the middle one, 403G.
I ended in blue.
Yeah, the middle one is a 2.
So, in addition to Chapter 13's renaming existing streets, Chapter 14's regulation of naming new streets, you also have a policy, and rather than review it, it's inconsistent with all those things. So, you've got a separate set of requirements here that are completely inconsistent with what's in the code. My recommendation here is, once we decide what you want to do with the code, we delete this and simply insert provisions that say C, A, B, C, section, yada, 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 yada. Just have this policy revert to the code. So, that completes my discussion, and I'll I'm here to answer any questions, but again, staff needs direction on how you want to proceed.
Well, it sounds like we've certainly created a pile of spaghetti here.
No comment.
Jim, this kind of got started because of the hot button issue. We have a couple of streets in town that have a Civil War history associated with that. And people living on those streets and other people, citizens of the town, not living on those streets, would like them remain.
I figured that was the case, and that's really the what you all have to deal with.
All this came about. I took the code from neighboring towns, more than one, and neighboring counties, and tried to distill a number of pages into a few changes that we could have processed. And I just threw them at the end of chapter 14. I agree that what we do should go into 13 after reading your outline here.
I think your draft was useful because it directs us to look at existing provisions, both for new streets and renaming existing streets, to consider afresh what we want to do, or if we don't want to do anything, whether we need to tweak what we already have. I also think it brings to the forefront whether you want to get involved with red button issues. I also think somewhere in all of that, maybe more for new streets than for existing streets, but I've got a First Amendment flag that keeps trying to raise itself up. I mean, if I was a developer and I'm going to spend all that money and I bring in my subdivision, I don't want somebody telling me what my street names are going to be. I want to get those names. On the other hand, if those names are totally inappropriate, then council should have the authority to do something about it. And I understand where this is coming from, and I've wrestled with this. As a matter of fact, the first time I read it, the next call was a conference call with Mandy and Beth saying, hey, what are we going to do here? And so I've gone back and forth in my mind, don't do it, do it, keep it. I mean, what you've got has worked. You're built out. Don't know that you need to worry about naming new streets. I think what you've got in chapter 14 works. That's up to you to decide. I do think the real bugaboo is the renaming of existing streets. And do you want to go there, or do you simply want to plug in somewhere that, and you could go back to the chapter 13 provision where John has the authority to recommend new street names. Maybe instead of limiting that to for the purpose of clarifying street designations, perhaps if he gets a citizen request, instead of him deciding it, he has to have, you know, I could see, for example, let's go back and read this. Chapter 13.10.10b. Let me tell you, I'll tell you how it reads, and I'm going to insert some language at the end. It shall be the duty of the building inspector from time to time to review the official street names of the town and recommend to town council any changes in names he feels are justified in order to permit clarity of street designation and to forward to council any public request to rename a street, period. Town council has the discretion, something along the lines, town council retains the exclusive discretion to so rename the street, and leave it at that. In other words, if right now, if a request comes into John and he thumbs down, that's it. It doesn't go any further. And I'm not sure, but that takes you all out of it for better or for worse. If you put something in there that John still can do what he does if it clarifies designation, but if a citizen comes in and says, John, this really troubles me, and here's a petition, or even if it's not a petition, it may be workable just to put something in there that he passes that on to council and council considers and acts on it. I don't know that we need a public hearing. I don't know that we need petitions, or we may not need any of that at all.
I would not be comfortable with John taking the heat for that.
Oh, it should be council. I agree with
that. Yeah, council should stand and make a decision.
So right now, the renaming provision is limited mm-hmm. to John coming to you if he thinks clarity is needed for street names. Mm-hmm. So if you want to add something to that, you would need to consider the process and the procedure.
Well, I actually got a few things from what you were telling us, Counselor. One was, due to lack of contiguous space, we really aren't going to have many subdivisions.
Like
so
said,
maybe there's no reason to change the plat process, right? When we did get into discussion, we did want to leave a method for an individual, if you call it a red button item, to express themselves to council. But expressing yourself to council required that you would need to have at least 51% support in your own community and not just dump it on council saying this has to be changed. That, I think, was the intent. We wanted to give an avenue, but we didn't want the avenue to be wide open. If you have enough support to do that in your street, bring it to council and council will decide if we should, in fact, honor that. Am I misquoting that, guys?
No, I think you're exactly right.
So in that regard, I think what you're saying is what you're offering us, you are offering us a way to do that by saying council will approve it or at council discretion. Do we necessarily have to put the 51% and all that stuff into a process that shouldn't, it should be more than 13? I agree with you on that.
I think the question of process and procedure is your all's question to tell staff what you want to do, but I can make a couple of comments.
Yeah.
Mr. Elbert, also as part of my research, there's a little chunk of the process that says a street cannot have a name that's similar to another street in town or neighborhood community.
Yeah, I think that that's in the code someplace.
Already?
I think so.
But it turns out there is a Seahorse Lane in Carolina Beach and a Seahorse Place in Cary Beach. I reached out to the emergency guys, fire the place, and it has not come up as a problem to date. But you could foresee someone in an emergency themselves have a heart attack, get on the phone, 911, I'm at 505 Seahorse, and they don't get either place or lane to be said, then where does that emergency vehicle go?
Well, I think...
So I was trying to also have some process that understands that situation, and the people in Cary Beach that live on Seahorse Place could petition us to have it changed if they felt like there was a potential for a problem from an emergency point of view.
Again, addressing both gentlemen's comments, that I don't have a dog in this fight, that's fine. On the other hand, I would point out that issue. Let me make two points. Right now, that issue can be brought to John's attention by anybody. And I think that clearly is a matter of clarifying street designations. And if he agrees and he brings it to council, and council acts on that. You've got that in place. And that may be more effective for clarifying designation purposes than requiring a petition and a public hearing and all that. I could be wrong on this, but I keep coming back regarding process and procedure and potential red button issues. And the thought just occurred to me today. So it didn't find its way into my memo or this document which we produced last week. But I keep coming back to the idea of a sentence somewhere that town council has the discretion to change the names of existing streets. Boom, leave it at that.
With no public hearing.
Well, no public hearing, no notice, no petition, none of that stuff. And you know, if somebody wants a street name changed, they're going to let the town know about it. I don't know, and I don't see why, I don't know how you all set your agendas, but if somebody wants a street name changed, somebody in this town is going to know about it, and it can come to you all, and somebody can put it on the agenda, and if you've got a blanket provision somewhere that says simply that you have the discretion to rename existing streets and scraps all the processes and procedures, that seems to be pretty clean. Hmm. Maybe too simple, but it seems pretty clean to me.
It still allows us the opportunity to let people be adequately represented, since we represent them all, right?
So
even the ones who...
John might bring it to you, Mandy may get an email, it might come in a public comment, but there's no, there's nothing in the code that says A, B, C, D, other than the fact that you have the ultimate authority, however the question may arise, to rename an existing street.
Nothing says we couldn't have a public hearing.
That's right, just like you do with
certain symbols.
I guess I'd like to have the opportunity for people to bring it forward, and we do have those opportunities. I also, though, would not expect an individual to expect council to react as an individual for one action because they're upset with a particular name. Now, I guess that was the intent of trying to put some structure around it to say, look, before you jump into this thing, you better make sure you have your ducks in a row. But if we can do that with the simplicity that you've described, I'm all for that.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
Let's break this down first. We've got new streets and we've got renaming existing streets. I feel that new streets are adequately covered by Chapter 14 as the present
okay.
stands. So the first question for council in terms of instructing staff how to proceed, do we want to change anything in Chapter 14 based on these proposed amendments that regulates the naming of new streets?
That's a fair question, gentlemen. I don't think we want to make changes there.
I agree.
No changes to, well, we can, okay. We're not changing anything. We don't need a motion, but we do not need to change 14.
The consensus of council is to leave everything in the code for naming new streets as is.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're down to one question. And process and procedure. I'm not sitting here arguing against process and procedure. I'm
yeah,
sharing
sure.
my thoughts with you. So I would request that you all discuss among yourselves so that you can instruct staff tonight if need be, or table if need be. But staff is asking for guidance on what process and procedures you would like to see for naming new streets. We can plug in, you have the ultimate authority and leave it at that, or we can plug in, you have the ultimate authority and give it some framework, but I don't have any further comments on that. That's something for you all to and instruct staff on how to proceed.
Okay. I think that's a fair question.
His the attorney's recommendation, or he was reading and said, and an existing street renaming would come forward to the council for final decision, or whatever those words.
Building inspector has the authority to recommend the council propose names and street changes. Proposed changes to street names to for clarifying street designation and, comma, in any event, comma, and this is just off the top of my head. Town council has the ultimate and discretionary authority to rename existing streets. Bingo. Stop. Now, You all raised some good points about citizen involvement process and procedures. So let's break this down again. Forget about process and procedure for a minute. That language that I just proposed for us said the word bingo. And refining that language, would you like to see that added to that provision about renaming street names? We'll talk about process and procedures in a minute. Is that fine? Do we have a consensus on
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So now we're left with process and procedures. So please discuss whether you want it, what you'd like to see, and then I can come up with, staff can come up with an idea how to tweak. Probably just add a subsection below what we just hypothesized to provide for, to regulate public requests for renaming the street. So I'll just sit and listen to you all discuss.
I think I would like to see what a particular idea you could come up with on that point. Well, which essentially would say that whatever we do consistently, in my opinion. Maybe I have a wrong idea of what the process ought to be. But after we do what you suggested in the first place, if we have a line under that that says, should you get here, this is what their expectations are.
Well, here's where I'm coming from, Mayor. If we took that Chapter 13 provision for renaming new streets and plugged in at the end of that, that in any event, town council has the authority to rename existing streets, we'll call that subsection A. Subsection B, in the event there is a public request to rename the street, the following procedure shall be followed. And what I want to know is, do you want a petition or can an individual request it? If you want a petition, how many sign it? Do you want a public hearing? We can take care of notice. You don't need to tell us about that. But do you want individuals or petition? If it's a petition, what percentage? And do you want a public hearing? And do you want PZC to review before it comes to you? I don't think so on the last time. If you have the ultimate authority, you don't need PZC to review a renaming request.
Okay.
Can I add something so, as a staff member that's going to get this question? So then where does the new name come from? Who decides what? I mean, like, I know that you guys decide, yes, there's going to be a new name, no, we're going to stay with what it is, but who creates the new name? That's going to be the question we get. And if we go to the process of saying, well, it's going to go to our naming committee, and we're on a hot button, hot topic issue like we have been in the past with Civil War related names, what are the political affiliations or whatnots of our naming committee? Is it an unbiased committee? Is it 3-2 or 2-3? Or do you see what I'm saying? Those are the questions we're going to get as staff. Is where is the name? Who's going to decide what the name's going to be?
Well, we certainly can set up a policy around that, saying we're not going to name anything after people. They're going to be birds, or they're going to be fruits, or they're going to be flowers.
I recommend setting forth any policy. You all have too much policy as it is, and it needs to be restructured and conformed and made consistent. Why don't we simply do this? Mandy raises good points. In the event there's a public request to rename an existing street, the following procedure shall be followed. Boom. An application or petition for the same signed by blank percentage of property owners whose property abuts the subject street shall be submitted to the town clerk. Said proposal shall include a proposed new name. I mean, get them to feed you so that when you, since you've got the ultimate authority in the subsection above, you don't need to give it to a naming committee unless the policy is, unless we've got enough policies there. That I have to deal with.
Okay. I think it should be a petition with about 70%.
Well, on one of the two streets in question, there's only one resident that lives on that street.
It's 100%.
So that's 100%.
But I don't think, because if it gets to one person, then that turns into, I don't like my neighbor, and I want to screw him over in this manner. You know, I want to change the name. Or, I think it should
that
be a heavy amount.
That person that she likes.
Well, that's the intent of 51%, right? Well, two people can't just make it happen.
Yeah, well, I think it should be more than that.
On that street, literally, there's one person across the street, too.
Yeah, there's their empty lot. Well, somebody owns the property, I imagine.
Is it two lots on that street, Max? Or how many lots? I mean, you got a property owner. We're not talking about people who live there. We're talking about people who own the property.
I think there's two or three lots. There's one across the street from the house that's empty, and then there's a road that goes down Ocean View Estates, and then I don't think there's one on the corner, so the other ones are on General Whiting or Fort Fisher. So I think there's only two lots. One is built on, one is not.
75, say you got 75%, it puts the responsibility on this existing person to track down the other property owner. Stuff that the town doesn't need to be involved in.
Right.
But I think Mandy's question perhaps is answered by a request to rename the streets got to include a proposed street name so that when it comes to you, all you're doing is deciding on what's being presented to you. If you don't like it, you turn it down. You don't have to come up with a different name. You don't have to address the other. Let's put everything on the requester so that you've got a very simple thumbs up or thumbs down without commentary. And I skipped the public hearing.
No, there's only one lot. So that lot that I thought was a lot is a full set. It's a deep lot. And it fronts Fort Fisher Boulevard, and then the other lot fronts Ocean View Estates. The other lot fronts General Whiting. So
but you all know this particular property better than me. The one, the zoning, I'm trying to think of what the right word is. It's not a budding adjacent, it's contiguous. Contiguous, a lot of times you see in a, you know, petition for a proposed text amendment, you send it on zoning, you send notice to all the affected contiguous property owners, contiguous being defined as across the street or in the rear of the property. That might be one way to address the uniqueness of this one particular situation.
You know, we've talked about the impact it has on people when we change an address. We change the address. What it does. I think I like what Mr. Elder is telling us, because if we just put the pressure or put it back into the lap of the person, whoever lives up, the people live on that street, and they come to us with a request to change to this name, then that gives it, takes a lot of pressure off of us to try to come up with something is going to make those people happy, because it's their street and everything. If not, why should we get into what name?
And on a red button issue, you're not going to make everybody happy.
No. What if they come up with a completely ridiculous name?
We have the right to
turn it down. You refuse it.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Without
come back to us with a better
name. That's what calls.
I don't have a problem with what you've proposed as your last proposal. But
do you want, so let's break it down.
Yeah.
Is there a consensus that the requester proposes the name?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there a consensus on, can an individual make this request, or do you need a petition?
Petition. I would endorse petition.
Well, you want a petition or a request?
Forget about the unique property, that's unique, but yeah. In general, do you want a petition?
A petition would be the way that they would designate whether or not they have the required number of.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If you
yes.
Want, if you,
I believe I would. Where are you, gentlemen?
I'm fine with that.
Yep. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
What percentage of property affected?
At least 2/3.
Yeah, 2/3.
51% is two. It's got to be 2/3 strong.
Only by the people that live on that street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or can a citizen somewhere else?
No. People on the street. Sarah.
Live on
yeah,
the street.
That's the rule.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, should be
the
property owners.
What was the percentage?
2/3.
66%?
Of the property
yeah,
owners.
Yeah, otherwise it's 66 and 2/3. So
and
66%.
Do you want, so petition, 66%, they propose the new name, and public hearing or not?
Well, since the people that would be on the street would be involved, and I would imagine we'd hear from them, I would assume maybe not.
Query. Have you heard from them via the petition? Do you want to bring the red button issue into chambers?
I think not.
I think the issue is we want to tell all the property owners that we're considering changing it. Because just like Joe talked about, even two-thirds, you could go cherry-pick your neighbors and get them to approve it and ignore the guy that everyone doesn't like.
That's a good point.
And we need to get their feedback, too.
So we need to notify.
So I think after the petition, we notify all property owners and give them the opportunity to tell council their concerns, right?
When you notified, you wanted, are you talking about a notice to public hearing?
No. I'm just saying for the property owners that live on the property, right, in case they all aren't aware.
So.
Because you could get two-thirds of your neighbors fill out a petition and ignore the old grumpy guy or real nice young person, whoever, and then that person doesn't find out until the name's changed, and then they got a problem. They never knew about it. I don't want council to do that.
For a minute, is 100% too much?
What, for notification?
No, for petition.
Because I don't want to give one individual the power to make a change or to not make a change.
Yeah.
So I don't think 100% is the right answer.
Okay, so
because if it is a hot button street, you don't want the one holdout causing all his neighbors to have protest in front of their property.
Gotcha.
Right, that's the issue. So I agree with Craig. I don't think 100% is right.
All right, we'll stay at 66. So the thing that one and staff can, Beth and Mandy can chip in as well. Are we sending letters to all the affected property owners, or if we're going to allow people to come in and comment pro and con, doesn't a notice public hearing serve the purpose that you were just talking about?
I would rather certify letters to the property owners, because a lot of people don't read notice of public hearings. We get it all the time.
All right, should we, like a zoning text amendment, should we require the requester to provide stamped addressed envelopes for all the property owners on that street? That's what you typically find in text amendments.
I would think we'd have that.
No, I think the town, it's not going to happen that often, and I'm fine with the town making sure that all of our property owners are aware of a change that could cost them potentially $500 with licenses and everything.
If we do all this, do you want a public hearing as well?
I'm fine not, but I'm open to council either way.
I don't believe we need a public hearing as long as we notify the people on the street that this is what's going on. They have the ability to approach council anytime they wish.
All right, so let me summarize. Somewhere in Chapter 13, probably a subsection below the building inspector's authority to suggest new names for existing streets, we'll have it and plug into that your old ultimate authority, discretionary authority. We'll have a second subsection. In the event there is a public request to rename an existing street, following shall apply. A petition signed by 66% of the affected property owners in fronting that street. The proposal of the new street name, certified letters to all the property owners, 10 days in advance of the
meeting?
Of the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, and then if the public wants to, they'll have to speak during the public comment time.
Right. Well, we want to be inclusive. We want to give everybody an opportunity to be heard on that point. But I think you've described it very well. And Jim, thanks for walking us through it.
Oh, well,
you uncurled the spaghetti for us, sir.
Gordian knot.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Parking RFP. That would be me. Okay, the traffic committee did meet. We did publish our minutes, but there were a couple few changes that were made to the parking RFP. One of them was start date was suggested and moved to April 1st through September 30th. The committee decided to go to two rates, one rate for Atlantic Avenue, beach access points, and including 3rd Street, the other rate to cover 4th through 7th. 7th would not be free, like other streets, paid and or a local decal. Some portion of south side of K Avenue from Fort Fisher to Atlantic would be kept at 30 minutes to allow food takeout pickup. Local businesses wish to continue the ability to use that option. Commissioner Whitley will review the cloud security portion, and as soon as I get the response from that, we will be sending this out at the end of September for a request coming. All responses will be due by 5 p.m. on October 30th. We also sat down and had a meeting with Arlen. Arlen took us through the RFP process for a service agreement. We know what we have to do and what we do not need to do in that instance. So we are ready to let this thing go, and we are going to expect responses the end of October. We will put those responses together and bring something to council in November for consideration for the next steps. That's where we are on this. Joe, you have anything you want to add? You've been with this all the way. So, well, that's where we stand on that, gentlemen. The document, you're free to read it. It's on the website, I believe, Mandy, as well as being in the minutes.
It's under the parking committee page.
Okay. So we're ready to go with that.
Yeah, nice work. That's a great RFP from my perspective, having looked at a lot of them. So we'll see what happens when the vendors look at it.
Yeah, we'll see.
When we talk to citizens about whether we really want to do this or not.
Right. Now, there was one particular element. I want to hit it very briefly, and that is, how do you deal with people who work in town? A very clever idea was brought forward by one of the people on the parking committee that essentially says, each week they are given a code to put into their app and possibly add their initials, so that that code with those initials, if you see that code and initials more than once, you know the person's sharing their weekly code. But I mean, there's a couple ways to do this thing, and I think there's quite a bit of input we'll get from whoever we select to help us with this as well.
When you put in the, well, that's what I was looking at, number 3, seeking recommendations, you did put in local employees, so we'll see what the vendors. Someone else has got to have the same issue that we do with that.
So, right. So adding the initials to like 1234 David D H.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Is there any intent? You may have it in here, and I just can't find it, and I don't recall reading it. Is there any intent to having a Q&A section with the bidders a weekend? A week into the process sometime? In other words, the bidders get this, and they have a question about something. Can they submit?
Yeah, on the initial.
If they do, you have to share that with the other bidders?
Well, you don't necessarily have to do that with a service RFQ, but we do plan to do it. We plan to do it with a parking at town of Curry Beach. We're going to have a web address for all the people to submit their questions. We will answer those questions, and they'll be out there for whoever else wants to see them.
No. Emailing the questions to parking at townofcurrybeach.org.
Yes.
Are you going to want to post those on your web page?
Yeah, we can post them under parking.
Is that how you want to do it? Because I don't have a way to blast them back out to everyone.
No, they would be posted, I think, under the parking committee, and those would be the responses to the question, and any of the people who are referring to the RFP or have questions can look there for. We're not going to develop a FAQ, right? Okay. Frequently asked questions, but we certainly will let them look at the responses to the people who have asked questions.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you're not going to have all apples. We're going to have some oranges and pears thrown in there. Not everybody's proposal is not going to be equal. They're going to have certain things that are
Well,
and it's a little bit different than this because we're not bidding a truck. I mean, we're not asking for a thing. So some people are going to have, that's going to be what makes a determination on whether we select them or not.
Well, Joe and I have spent a lot of time on this, and we actually have a section A, B, C, and D, which everybody must fill out, and it's according to the request of the bids. That will be the basis to determine if everybody's on the same page. If you have something that's you think is much greater, you can bring it in, but we're going to compare you based on what we want. And so I think we've already addressed that.
Good.
So those are the last four pages of the RFQ. Okay. All right. Let me see what's next. Hopefully not much.
Cheap.
I think it's garbage.
Okay. No, we've already done that. Let's see. No, we're finished, and we now have one item in new business.
Good afternoon.
Sorry to make you wait, Chief. It's getting late.
It's all good. Just want to talk briefly about the civil fines. My recommendation is that we adjust the current fines to potentially cut down on appeals. Right now we have over 90 appeals for dogs on the beach and for parking. Our attorney, not our town attorney, but our
appeals attorney.
How can somebody appeal a dog on the beach?
They can appeal anything. It does their
you can appeal anything.
So that attorney is currently hearing the appeals for free. If we continue on the current trend, he may want to charge us in the future. And right now, he is letting me take care of all the parking citations so that the officers do not have to come in on their days off. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, he'll let me do that for the dogs on the beach and the other civil citations. If not, it's just going to cost more in overtime and having to pay for the attorney. But I just have a few recommendations. Like, driving on the beach is only $25, and that needs to go way up. We've had it happen a few times. The dogs on the beach, I know, is a hot topic, but my recommendation is $75. I'll do whatever you guys want to do, but we're getting cussed out just about every day for riding dogs on the beach. And I'd much rather have my guys getting cussed out for keeping somebody's property safe than running up and down the beach chasing dogs. So we would do whatever you guys want to do, but those are my recommendations.
I took a look at some of these. As a matter of fact, I did talk to you, Chief, and I think you did make a couple adjustments based on some of my input. But from my perspective, I do think some of these did need to be adjusted. You're correct. At some point in time, that attorney is not going to do this for free. If I was looking at 90 cases, I would probably say, well, wait a minute. Even at a couple minutes a case, it's going to take quite a bit of time. At the same token, it was absolutely correct that you could drive on the beach for $25, but you can't walk your dog on the beach for $150. And that, I'm glad to see that was corrected. In general, I think these are somewhat in line with what the other beaches are doing. But again, I'm not overly concerned about the other beaches. I'm concerned about our beach in our town. So what do you got? What's the opinion, council?
So I support the chief. I mean, COVID is why we have all the parking issues, right? We all know it, right? We probably didn't help ourselves with some of the stuff we did with COVID, but it seemed the best thing at the time. And so a lot of those are a one-time thing, hopefully, right? Because we've learned a lot, and hopefully we'll be better for the department on that. I support all those changes. I see you have barking dog as a new ordinance. Is that because we don't use that under noise violations now? And you made it different from noise violations. That's the only question I had, Chief.
No, we do have a barking dog ordinance. I don't know. Tammy adjusted it, so I'm not sure. I don't know why she put it in, but we do have
okay, we do have one.
I believe that's $150 too.
Okay, and I was just wondering why it was a new ordinance, but I'm fine with the chief's proposal, and I'm willing to make a motion to accept them as presented. I know we did get one citizen's email, or at least I did, about the dogs on the beach that pushed not to do that. And then he talked about his friend that got bit in Carolina Beach on the other side of Alabama Avenue and his concerns. But I think if our police officers are more likely to write tickets, that'll help us. And if lower fees support that from the chief's perspective, then I think the lower fee actually helps the issue versus makes it worse. Because if they're concerned to write them because of how high they are, fine, you know.
But lowering the fee, lowering the fines will encourage people to...
People don't know what the fines are now. They're surprised, and they're not going to like $75 as much. I don't think there's that many citizens. There's probably a couple because we have some rich people that are, I'll pay whatever the fine is if I get caught, and they'll keep doing it. But that's why you have a secondary repetitive higher fine, right?
Can we double the fine if they're locals? I'm just kidding. Especially for dogs on the beach.
No, majority of what? I know. Yeah.
The only one I saw on here that will probably need to be changed is the parking. I put it at 35, but if we do the parking, it probably needs to be higher than 35. Mm-hmm.
The daily rate might, we don't, the daily rate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the good thing is that'll be, if we do that, if the council does do that and the citizens say do that, that'll be with the parking company, and we'll have to integrate that with everything else. So that fee will change with the proposals, I'm sure. But all the rest of them, so, I mean, unless council's got discussion, I'm ready to make a motion.
I mean, I'm still not there with from.
Which ones?
About the dogs on the beach. If we're going to have it, we need to have a fine that is a deterrent.
Well, I would tell you what. To me, $75 is a deterrent. It may not be to some people, but if you're here on vacation and you walk out on the beach, $75 instead of $150. But the only thing that I would tell you is, at 150, almost 100% of them are being challenged.
Well, they're all going to
because happen. And they're not being challenged because there's no penalty to challenging, and there's no timeline to when the challenge completes, and people aren't paying their fine until the challenge is over. So you have 150 tickets that are you can have $150 tickets that are useless until you get the attorney and the client and everybody together. Or you can have people who might say, what's that?
Well, the issue is most of them aren't locals. And I think
exactly. The
bigger problem is the communication part. So when we look where dogs are allowed on the beach on the website, it said they were okay in Curie Beach, right? And we don't control that. We talked to the marketing committee about
it. The sign over the bridge with Carolina Beach, dogs on the beach.
Yeah, that's right. So. I mean, I'm okay either way. If the chief thinks it helps his department, $75 or $150 is not going to change the person that shows up on Friday and takes their dog out there Saturday.
Well, I think back in 2008, 2009, we went from $25 fine to $150 fine, and it hasn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the short-term rentals, we have a bigger issue with beach violations, in my opinion. We need to figure out how to engage the short-term rental properties to help us with our regulations and communication. And that's kind of one of the things I want to bring up to council once we get out of the season and get settled back into the stuff we're looking at is how can we, one, make the short-term rentals give us good communication stuff, and then two, inform their customers about our rules, because it's garbage, which we took off for this one. We're going to move it to another one, but there's garbage issues.
Parking.
There's parking issues that we're going to have to inform them with when we change the parking, because they park all over the place. There's the dogs on the beach. There's leaving their stuff on the beach after hours that our fire department picks up and carries back here and then gets picked up. So there's a lot of issues that we have 435 small mini motels that are not communicating to their customers every week. And every week is a different crop. And so define to me, that's why I'm willing to support the chief. The bigger issue for council is how do we engage in the short-term rental industry and get them to inform their customers before they get here that if you do this, it's going to cost you. Because that's what we need. This doesn't stop any, this doesn't deter anybody, especially half the dogs are coming down off the front row houses, so they're not even walking on our public beach access with the sign. And that's from private property, so we can't put signs on all their beach accesses. And then our police chief or our police officers or our lifeguards are interacting with these people, right? And they're like, oh, you know, on the web it says this. Well, go to Cure Beach's website, it doesn't say that, you know. But we need the short-term rentals to send them a, hey, if you're coming to Cure Beach, here's the rules, and if you don't follow them, here's what it costs. And I don't know how to do that. We've sent them stuff about riptides, and we're rescuing the people that can't see riptides. You know, they don't stay around our flags. They leave their stuff out overnight, and our lifeguards get it. So that's the bigger issue to me. That's why the fine, I'm very supportive of following the police chief's recommendation on all these signs. On all these, that's where I'm at.
Any other comment? I know the chief's just saying, hey, I'll enforce them. This is my recommendation. So what do we want to do here?
I make a motion we accept the proposed fees as presented.
I'll second.
Did you second, John?
Yes.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any other questions?
The dogs on the beach is about to end anyway, so we won't know until next year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
What about the current tickets that are outstanding?
They were before the fees were changed.
Yeah.
They don't change.
They remain the same.
Okay. Yep. They'll remain the same.
You're not grandfathered.
And me and Troy will sit there and listen to every one of them with Mike. Chief Allen.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
3-2. Did you go yes, John?
Yeah, I said aye.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
And I only voted no because the dog's on the beach. Yeah. Everything else I'm fine with.
Okay. Well, we could have made it two motions so you could be unanimous.
Yeah, you could be unanimous for 90% of them.
I'll be contrary to that.
I would be willing to change the game if you gentlemen agree that if somebody comes to a hearing and says, hey, they just changed this $150 ticket to $75, I would be willing to, you write me $75, you're good to go.
No, I'd rather take it in cash.
I would ask the attorney how that plays out, or we could ask the hearing officer, but since he's here we have an attorney.
Well,
I mean, we're not negotiating.
It's a knee-jerk reaction, but so I don't know that you can go to the bank on it, but you've got one. I agree with you. I mean, when it occurred, it occurred at this level. If it occurs now, it occurs at that level. I don't know, having said that, I don't know if you ever settle these things. Might be a good way to, if you do, and if the chief is authorized to negotiate, might be a quick way to relieve that 90-day backlog and say, oh, look, you're appealing 150, I got a deal for you. Give me 75 and we'll forget about it.
Then the COVID tickets are going to
want to
do that for parking.
We didn't change any of the parking tickets.
Well, you did. You had a different rate. It went up more expensive, and then we lowered it back down. So a lot.
Well, we can do the same thing. So I think the issue is in communication. Okay, the council's discussed this, and if you come to the hearing, here's what you're going to be heard on, or you can settle this at this lower rate. If council is in favor of that, then we can send emails to everyone and say, here's your two options. And that might get some of them off the docket. What does council think about that? Since the attorney, I think that's actually a decent idea.
I think it's a good idea as long as people don't think it's really a negotiation. It's a way to make sure that we are
notify them of the new action, give them the option.
That's right. Exactly right. And you know, if you decide to come to a hearing, it will be under this, or you can pay the ticket at this lower rate that council's approved. To try to clear this up for everyone. What do you guys? Well, you're not smiling or frowning, so what?
you guys want to do. We're going to do
it. Typically means no.
Do you have comments?
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a comment.
I mean, it's just, you already have all their email addresses, right? Because that's how they schedule it. So it's just two different emails, and then you send them out blind copied so they don't see each other's. I mean...
Does anybody have any other comment on that? David thinks it's a decent idea. I think it's a reasonable proposal. If we can, like you said, if it's an option. Come, and if you lose, you pay $150 or pay $75 now and call it quits.
So what was the parking ones switching from?
$75.
To what? To $35? $25.
Is what it is now is $25.
Right.
We went up to $75.
Yeah, during COVID.
Your case backlog consists of what? Can you break that down?
Yeah, we would know that a lot of it is parking and a lot of
the
it is...
The majority of it is parking. Yeah.
Do you want to make the offer to come in at the lower price applicable to all the ones that you've changed?
Those are the only we've got, right? We've just got parking and dog on the beach outstanding, right? Chief, were there others?
Others outstanding,
right?
As far as appeals, there's 90 plus appeals for parking dogs on the beach. I'm not sure, definitely not. If there's anything else,
there may be a few other things.
It's got to be 95% that.
Yeah, it's like
95%. Right.
So if you're going to give me the option, do you want to make it applicable to both dogs and parking?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I make a motion that
if
we
you're not,
allow the town clerk and police chief to draft a letter for COVID parking tickets and dogs on the beach tickets to propose the reduced rate in settlement, or they come for their appeal at the full rate.
We've been too nice. That's why we're in this spot. I'm not going to support that.
Okay. Well, there's
okay.
My motion, sir.
There you go. So we have a. Did you make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Did we have a second?
Yes.
Okay. We do have a motion and a second. So we have a motion to offer that discussion option on both parking and on dogs on the beach.
We're going to have a date that they have to appeal it by?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I think
we can do. We can.
I think you'll have to get out if you don't appeal it by the.
You don't
pay it by.
Yeah.
They've already appealed it.
Yeah, if you don't pay it by, I think you give them a month because they're gonna have some of them are out of town. Gonna have to mail it, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know where the governor's going, but we said we weren't going to hear appeals until we were in phase three. So.
You'll make it November 1.
Yeah, that's what I think. Right. You know, if you don't have it paid by November 1, we assume you're continuing your appeal, and it will be at the full price.
Okay.
I'll amend my motion. Thank you, Al.
I mean,
to November 1st. That's right.
And this is going to cause any problems with people that have already paid the tickets. I mean, I'm just asking.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I may, and if they do refer to council, so council did this, so
okay.
You know.
First of all, you were wrong.
That's right.
Period.
It may not pass.
It's easy for me, but I'm not a counselor. You were wrong. You got a ticket because you weren't following the rules.
And violated the law.
Violated the law, that's right.
Shamelessly violated.
Okay, so we have a motion and a revised motion. Do I have a second on the revision?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second on the revision. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Alan?
I said I voted yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. That takes care of that. Now, I have no mayor items to add. Commissioner items. Alan, do you have anything you want to bring up?
No, sir. I have one, and we received a question this week about a tree along Settlers Lane. I emailed Matsu, and they have proposed kind of a quarterly thing for us where we can, we'd have to advertise or send out an email. If you have an issue with anything along Settlers Lane, we will compile it quarterly, submit those January 1st, April 1st, October 1st.
Well, it's not just Settlers Lane, it'd be the buffer zone.
Well, probably the buffer zone, yeah.
Because south too, right?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, just got Settlers Lane on the brain, obviously. But so I think we should go ahead and start broadcasting that out. I don't know if we could make anything for October 1st of this year, but at least have everything lined up by January 1st of next year.
Now, was that a proposal? Do we want to go back? 90 days is a long time. Like, if we get something on October 5th or say, hey, we'll talk to you in January?
I'll think if it, yeah, I mean, I think if it was something that was
every 2 months?
Threatening, yeah, we could definitely reach out to them, but...
Well, we'll take what they offered and then talk about
it. Yeah, and hopefully, see we could do hopefully we'll have a meeting with the, Craig and I'll have a meeting with the colonel across the river sometime soon. And also, if anybody's listening, when they finish the mastication, they are going to come down the fire lane and clean everything up, mow it, pick up all the debris that's out there. So that will be coming.
Why don't y'all talk with the colonel and come back to us at that point?
And so if anybody listening or someone listens to this, they'll know that there's been some movement on it. So.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. I know it's an ongoing item. We're working hard on that. Thank you. John, anything? How about you?
No, sir.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Make all a motion, right. We close.
All right.
3 hour and 35 minute meeting.
Okay, well, nobody second that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Staff, thank you for staying on a Friday, a rainy Friday.
Yes.